How's everybody doing? Well, it's spring break. I can tell the energy is like, wow. It's a beautiful morning, isn't it? It's a beautiful day to study the Word of God. It's a wonderful day to worship Him. And I'm so grateful to be able to teach this class today. Welcome to the services of the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. This is our morning Bible study, and I'm excited to announce that we are starting a new book, and that is the book of Judges. Amen. And we're going to learn a lot in this series. And so my job today is to provide an overview and introduction of the book. But before we get started, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that we have your word. So very grateful that we can open it and read it and clearly understand your word and your will for us. Father, you didn't leave us alone. You are with us still. Father, that you give us all the wisdom that we need to live this life. Father, I pray that you be with our brothers and sisters that are sick today. Be with Glenn, who's in the hospital, and help him. Father, be with Ann Williams. Father, be with Ricky, and Father, help heal him. Father, be with Ephraim and help him to be able to be healed. Father, there's so many people that are sick and going through things, and we pray that you would comfort them and take care of them. Father, we thank you that we can be together at this time in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, yes, my son is in the hospital. He's been there for a week, and I found out today he may have to be there another week. He had infection from complications from appendicitis, so it's just getting rid of this pesky infection that keeps him sick. So be praying that his infection will go away. You know, who knows when you plan the start of a class what's going to go on. So with Ephraim being in the hospital, Roxanne is at the hospital with him. And Karen Schultz is taking over for me at home so that my dad and my grandmother will be taken care of. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I appreciate that service very much. So one of the things that I want to show you about Judges before we jump in is really to introduce to you the speakers and the classes that they're going to be covering for this summer. And so I don't know if you can see that. I know it's kind of small. But what you're looking at right here is next week Bill Francis is going to be teaching the class in opening. And it's a good choice for us because Bill was involved in teaching Joshua. And then the first couple of chapters, all the way up to the chapter 3, what you have is a review of what happened in Joshua. So it's like a reset. So this is a great book to be a follow-up for Joshua. So we went Old Testament to Romans, New Testament, and then we're going back to Old Testament to follow up on our Joshua study. So we're going to be following this schedule right here. And I had some clarity. You know, we have a lot of things coming up, like International Sunday. So we will not be having a Bible class on International Sunday, but we will be having a class on Mother's Day and on Graduation Sunday. Now, Mother's Day, that's going to be different than we've done in the past. So please be here at 10, and we'll have our Bible class at that time. So everyone with me on here, so what we'll be doing is we are really fortunate to have so many capable teachers in our church. And we're also giving some men some opportunity to have more experience as well. Ron Frazier is going to be able to take one of our classes and teach one of our judges, actually three of them. And we're going to have Jeff teach Deborah. And Scott is going to take Gideon. And I may give up one of my classes to Steve Collier, depending on which one he wants to take. So we're still working on that. And then Joe Washington is going to take Samson, and Harold is going to deal with Micah and the Danites, and Todd Schultz is going to wrap us up with Levi's concubine. You know, I appreciate these guys taking these subjects because some of these can be a little more difficult to handle, and it'll be some interesting insights that we'll get from that. So everyone with me so far on what the plan is? Okay. So, you know, we must understand that every book in the Bible has a purpose. And sometimes that purpose isn't immediately obvious to us when we read it. And we have to ponder it, but God's word is there for a reason. And Judges is no exception to that rule. You know, I think what we often get confused about with Judges is we grew up in Bible class. If you went to church as a young person, and you think of Judges as stories. The story of Samson, the story of Jephthah, the story of Gideon, and these bigger-than-life characters. And when you're taught this young, your impression of these men is that, wow, they were mighty and they were awesome and look what they did. And you don't see that they were real people. Real people just like you and I who God used. And so that's one of the things in this study. I hope that we will get a more mature view of what these men were like. So, when I think of Judges, I think of 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul was talking in verse 10 through 13, the purpose of some of the scriptures that are in the Bible. Listen to this. "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure." You see, Paul is going through here and he is saying that these things were written down for us for a purpose. These are incredible warnings to us. And as we'll see in Judges, we have some incredible warnings that we will learn from. And it will resonate as we go through this book. So let's roll back just a little bit, take a moment. Who wrote the book of Judges? I don't think anyone knows. The assumption is it's Samuel. That's the traditional view, but there's really no actual way of knowing it. See, Judges takes us from, in the span of time, from the death of Joshua to about the period of Eli and Samuel, the rise of Samuel. Eli was the high priest, as you remember, that Samuel was put into the care of And then he ultimately became a high priest himself, or a judge, if you will, but he's not in the book of Judges. So when you talk about this span of time from the death of Joshua and you go to the rise of Samuel, no one really knows what that length of time was. I've seen guesstimates anywhere from 150 to 180 years. I've heard almost double that, though I don't think it took that long. But what's interesting about the book is that its events that happened in it aren't necessarily in sequence of time, okay? In other words, it can actually, some of the events be out of order, which is very, actually that happens a lot in the scripture with the events that take place. However, we can, and some people have, tied the events between the judges or the bad guys that you read about in there in history and match up the genealogies that we have in the scripture and other places, and you're able to have some synchronization between them. So it'd be very interesting, but we're not going to go there because I don't think that that's kind of the depth or interest that we want to get into, is how you synchronize up the genealogies with. I don't think that'll be very helpful for us. It's just good to know that that is the span of time and that traditionally people are saying that Samuel wrote it. What we do know when we read the scripture is that the phrase, in those days there was no king in Israel, everyone did what was right in their own eyes, appears twice. And so whoever wrote this was actually looking backwards. Does that make sense? They're looking backwards, and they said, back in those days, they didn't have a king, which indicates that in this writer's time, there were kings. That narrows it somewhat, okay? And we'll come back to that phrase in just a few minutes. So let's take a look at some of the themes in Judges. One of the major themes in Judges is the failure to obey and the consequences of disobedience. You see, what you will find in Judges is what we will call the cycle of sin. And so the way it begins is you have Israel serving the Lord, and then you have a generation where the parents didn't raise up the kids to worship God. And you have a whole generation that overall is unfamiliar with God, what He has done, and His commandments. And so they go into apostasy, and they fall into sin and worship the gods of the peoples that are around them. And as what we will see when Bill reviews is that they were supposed to destroy the inhabitants. They were supposed to drive them all out. They didn't. And there were consequences to that. They were surrounded by the peoples and their gods and their worship, and they intermarry with them. And they give their sons to their daughters and vice versa. And it leads them astray. And so you have generations that no longer know the Lord. Then, because of this, God rejects them. Because they no longer recognize the Lord as God, and they worship other gods, He abandons them. And then bad things happen. They get invaded. They get enslaved. They get imperiled. Horrible things are happening. And it gets so bad that they go, hey, someone remembers there is a God. And they cry out to Him. And they beg Him for forgiveness. And they get contrite. And they ask for compassion. And God delivers it. He raises up a man, a judge. He raises that person up and has them lead His people. They're a judge, not a king. And this is very important because the king is God alone. That's the way it was supposed to be. A high priest and the king is the Lord God. The judge was someone that God appointed, and his spirit comes upon him and he raises them up to lead, but it's the Spirit of God, and it is God at work that liberates his people. And so Israel calls out to the Lord. God raises up this judge, and he delivers them. And as for as long as that judge is alive, they have peace. And then the cycle repeats. And then the cycle repeats. And repeats. And repeats. And that is an important lesson to us, this theme. And we can apply that to our lives. Are we living like this? Where we start in a relationship with God and we get sidetracked by sin and immorality and we let go of God and no longer recognize Him as Lord and we no longer have Him as our authority in our lives and we let that go and suffer the consequences and bad things happen and it gets so bad that we cry out to God, "Where are you? I need you." And God has compassion. And He saves us. And He rescues us from our foolishness and our evil ways once more. And we come back into a relationship with Him. That cycle is not meant to happen over and over again. And this is a key lesson of Judges. There are other lessons and themes in Judges, and one of them is very interesting, and it reassures me, is God uses flawed agents, flawed people to do His will. You do not have to be perfect. You don't have to be super talented to do God's will. You can accomplish God's purpose. It is God working through you to accomplish His will is what is important. Not you. Being available for His use is what is important. Because it is God that selects them, who gives them courage, who gives them strength, and who gives the victory. That is an important theme in Joshua. So the authority of Judges comes through the Spirit of God. It isn't these men having authority in and of themselves. There's nothing special about them. In fact, most of them go, "No, I really don't want to do this." They have to be reassured that God is with them for them to do His will. Sounds familiar to my life. I have to be reassured that God's with me for me to do His will. Because sometimes it's so contrary to how I think and feel. Can anyone relate to that? Well, the judges did too. So, the authority of judges comes through the Spirit of God. They weren't appointed by anyone. There weren't any elections held. God Himself chose the person. And then what's interesting, I think, is you start seeing in this period of time a different kind of leader. You see, you had Moses and Joshua. What you start seeing in Judges is some of these judges weren't pure Israelites. They were sons of prostitutes, some of them. They were the black sheep. They had a tenuous relationship with the people of Israel and their tribes that they were born into. It's very interesting. So you kind of have this death of a Joshua kind of faith, and you have these people that have a more, complicated relationship with God. And we'll take a look at that. Here's some of the key phrases that you'll see. The phrase, "the Lord," is 170 times in the book of Joshua. 8 times we find the clause, "did evil in the sight of the Lord." That's in chapter 2, verse 11, 3, verse 7, 12, You'll see it two times there. Three verses 7 and 12. Chapter 4, verse 1. 6, verse 1. 10, verse 6. 13, verse 1. You get the idea. At the start of every chapter, the cycle starts again. And they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And as I mentioned, two times you have the refrain, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, if you do what is right in your own eyes, that's not right. That was not pleasing to God. That's in there for a reason. Them doing what was right in their own eyes was wrong and did not please God. That's very important to understand. So, you know, in every book you kind of have to have an outline of the content. And guess what? I would like you, as you study Joshua along with us, and I am assuming that you will do that, it's not a long book, outline it yourself. Go through and put the content in an organization so that you remember what the chapters represent. That will help your own study, okay? Because your outline will probably be as good as this outline that I'm going to show you, okay? So, you'll see in the first few chapters the cycles that we were talking about, okay? So, chapters 1 through 3, you're going to have the background. That's the beginning of chapter 3. The background of what happened when the Israelites came in. It's a review of the territory that they were taking over, all the way up to the point where the death of Joshua happens, and then what happens to the next generation. And then you have the judge Othniel in chapter 3, Ehud and Shamgar in the latter part of chapter 3, and then Deborah and Barak in chapter 4, and then chapter 5, and then Gideon, Tola, and Jair in the chapter 6. And so you can see how our lessons are going to go. They fall in a sequence. And then you have Jephthah, Ibsan, Elon, and Abdon. And we'll talk about those in Samson. And then you have this second part. And it's like, why in the world is this second part tied in? We're talking about judges, and then we go into this other content. And that'll be some interesting classes that the brothers will be doing for us there. And that's Micah and the Danites and the Levites' concubine. But it's really a story of the disconnect that people have from God in their sin. What happens to society when there is this disconnect, when God's no longer king, when everyone does what they see fit? Everyone with me so far?
Amen.
Okay. All right. So the next thing I want you to see, and this is kind of another way that you can have an outline, and I've given the brothers these same charts, so you may see this again, is kind of organizing this by who was the bad guy, how long did they serve this bad guy, and did they suffer, okay? And then who was the judge that was raised up by God to rescue them? And then how long did they have deliverance and rest from invasion and enemies? And then the chapters, the scriptures where this is discussed. Okay? So this is another thing that you can kind of do yourself. But there's some interesting bad guys. There's some really bad guys in the book of Judges. You know, in fact, the first one that's mentioned there, Cushan, he's the twice evil Cushite, not the once evil. It means literally the two times bad guy. And we'll get into that. It's a very interesting nickname he had. And then you have Moab. You have the Canaanites with Jabin and Sisera, Midian, the Amalekites, Abimelech, I put him in the, as a bad guy, Ammon, the Philistines, and then there's some you don't even know who the bad guy is. They just had some bad times, okay? So you'll see that the years of bondage, can you imagine? 8 years, 18 years, 20 years, 7 years. Sometimes we don't know the duration of it, that you go through that long of invasion, of being a slave, of having all your stuff taken from you, of, you see what I'm saying? Those are long times. And how long was it? It was probably just long enough to get their attention to where they turned back to God. And that's a very interesting thing. So in the final one, 40 years with the Philistines. So some of the judges actually begin a fight with the Philistines, and it goes on through several judges. They just have periods where it's not as intense. You know, remember, Saul becomes king, and he has to fight the Philistines. And then David even has to fight them. So it goes on through a period of time. So the content of Judges, you may not have known this, but the content of Judges is found in other books in the Bible as well. So in Hebrews, it's mentioned by Paul as he's given an overview in a sermon. In Hebrews 11, verses 32 through 39, he says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection." So he's kind of condensing the history here, the writer of Hebrews. He says, "They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect." It's very interesting. You'll notice that time and again, content from the Old Testament is pulled forward by the apostles, by the disciples, and put in context for us. Paul mentioned Judges in Acts 13, verse 20. And this is where I meant that Paul was doing a sermon. Paul motioned with his hand and said, "Fellow Israelites and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our ancestors. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of that country. For about 40 years, he endured their conduct in the wilderness, and he overthrew seven nations in Canaan, giving their land to his people as their inheritance. All this took about 450 years. After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel, the prophet." So you would find Paul, when he is trying to reach the Hebrews, the Israelites, bringing their history and putting into context that God has been at work from the beginning to the time where he's teaching, that God has had a plan, and he has been dealing with his people, he's been dealing with us in a certain situation so that we would have a relationship. We see judges in Samuel, 1 Samuel verses 12, chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. Listen to this. "But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, "We have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and the Asheroths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we will serve you." Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies all around you so that you lived in safety. You know, I didn't realize all this content was out there. You know, I tend to have been reading a book and just look at it. But Judges is mentioned quite a bit in different parts of the Bible. So I'm going to read this last part in Psalms chapter 106, Psalm 106, verses 34 through 45. This is really a summary. "They did not destroy the peoples as the Lord had commanded them, but they mingled with the nations and adopted their customs. They worshiped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to false gods. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was desecrated by their blood. They defiled themselves by what they did. By their deeds, they prostituted themselves. Therefore, the Lord was angry with his people and abhorred his inheritance. He gave them into the hands of the nations, and their foes ruled over them. Their enemies oppressed them and subjected them to their power. Many times he delivered them, but they were bent on rebellion, and they wasted away in their sin. Yet he took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented." And finally in Nehemiah 9, verses 27 through 31. You see, I'm reading this because you have perspective from a lot of different prophets looking at the book of Judges, looking at the cycle of sin, and they see it in their own generation. And they're using it to preach. "So you delivered them into the hands of their enemies who oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard them, and in your great compassion you gave them deliverers who rescued them from the hands of their enemies. But as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven. And in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. You warned them in order to turn them back to your law, but they became arrogant and disobeyed your commands. They sinned against your ordinance, of which you said, 'The person who obeys them will live by them.' Stubbornly, they turned their backs on you, became stiff-necked, and refused to listen. For many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you warned them through your prophets, yet they paid no attention. So you gave them into the hands of the neighboring peoples. But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God." Amen. That's an incredible scripture, isn't it? It gives us hope when we see these kind of things, is that God is a compassionate and merciful God. But he will not be mocked. And if you are stiff-necked and disobedient and will not listen, he will allow you to suffer the consequences of that sin until you repent. An interesting cycle of sin, is it not? So that really sums up so much of the book of Judges for us in verse 31 of chapter 9 of Nehemiah. "But in your great mercy, you did not put an end to them or abandon them, for you are a gracious and merciful God." So next week, what we're going to have is Bill Francis is going to be doing our opening chapters, reviewing the book with us. And I really want you to be reading it in advance. It shouldn't take very long for you to read the first two chapters so that you are up to speed, okay? It shouldn't take you more than 30 minutes. I urge you to do that. And then for extra credit, go ahead and do an outline, okay? If you want extra credit, Bill will ask you about that extra credit, I'm sure, okay? All right, so we're going to let you loose a little bit early, and I want you to go and pick up your kids.